and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's another week in the NBA, and that's what we talk about here. And we've got the A-team for you today. And by that, I mean Jackie McMullen, who's joining us from Boston, and Tim Band McMahon joining us from Houston, his home away from home. Tim, who are the Rockets? Are you there from yesterday's game? Why are you there?
No. Rockets mad tonight, baby.
Oh. But yesterday's game, or no, it was Saturday's game.
Saturday's game. The great Royce Young handled that for us. I had a daddy-daughter dance that was clearly the top priority that night.
Clearly.
A little luau situation.
So, Paul George with another awesome game. Paul George, he's just having an awesome year. Awesome year. Man,
And Russell Westbrook with a home triple-double.
He's got 10 in a row. He's got 10 in a row. Nine in a row. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk first about Magic Johnson's interview, pre-game interview yesterday in Philadelphia, which I thought was fascinating. Did you see it, Jackie?
Oh, of course. Yes, I did. Not fascinating to me at all. This is how Magic rolls.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know Magic better than almost anybody out there. You know, in fairness, he was asked the question, do you think that the talks with the Pelicans were in good faith? It wasn't like he came out and said, I'm here to declare that the talks were not in good faith. And I think that's important to point out. But he said no. And even if that is true, I just don't understand why he would say that, Jackie, because I assume that they still want to do business with the Pelicans, that they still want to trade for Anthony Davis. So why would you say that, number one? I mean, I understand why he gave the interview. He's out there basically to say, I know that we wanted to trade 80% of our team for this guy. Okay, we didn't trade 80% of our team for this guy. Now we have to focus on the rest of the season. Let's rally the troops and let's go. I understand why he gave the interview. I don't understand why he took a shot at the Pelicans when he's got to do business with them, Jackie.
Well, so what did we all say for weeks and weeks and weeks, even before Anthony Davis declared that he would like to be traded through his agent? We said that this was probably the biggest moment of Irvin Magic Johnson's front office career, did we not? Let's see if Magic can get it done. Magic always gets it done. Maybe Irvin doesn't always, but Magic always does.
Right, right.
Okay, they didn't get it done. They didn't get it done. And what he's trying to tell you is, hey, don't blame me. They wouldn't even talk to me. They wouldn't play ball with me. And I think we all knew that this was a likely possibility. I think all three of us discussed this a bunch of times on previous pods, that he had a tall order. So I don't think that you can say Magic Irvin Johnson failed. He's no good at his job. I think that it was going to be an impossibility because of the climate, because of the other offerings other teams could make, and because people are tired of being bullied into doing what the Lakers want or whatever other team wants. People are tired of it.
McMahon, what'd you think?
Interested to see going forward. Yeah, don't you think, McMahon, there's a little bit of a small market, big market thing going, brewing beneath all of this? I do.
There's no question about that. And there's a, you know, screw the Lakers, you know, we're not helping them. They've got all the advantages in the world. So, you know, let them have to at least work for it a little bit. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole Magic interview. I thought it was interesting. Like, everybody knew the answer to the question about did the Pelicans act in good faith, given an honest answer. I like you said, Wendy, I don't know if that was the wisest thing in the world. How did the Ben Simmons thing come up?
That's the second part of it. Well, first off, let me just put a bow on this.
So incredible.
Right. So that's part two. But the Pelicans really, there was no negotiation. The Lakers made offers. The Pelicans said, thanks for your offer, and hung up the phone. Ramona Shelburne was saying the other day that I think they had three conversations. Maybe they had two, but whatever it was, she said that the sum total of their conversations lasted less than 5 minutes. And I think she quoted somebody in the Lakers organization as saying that when they put in the big offer, where they offered everything and the draft picks, that you could have ordered a Domino's pizza is faster than that phone call, or about the same time that phone call was. So I wouldn't say that it was a negotiation at all. I would also say that both sides were guilty of leaking the details of the offers. I feel pretty confident in saying that. And so part of the reason why the Lakers players were kind of bummed out and lost by 40 is because of the actions that Magic, maybe he didn't do it himself, but he certainly sanctioned it. And so, you know, he kind of backed that up when he was like, I would tell these guys to buck up. If people get traded, it's the NBA. Which, by the way, is true. Part of the NBA is being in trade talks. Part of the NBA is getting traded. But, I mean, I'm not so sure that the Lakers acted in 100% good faith either. I don't think anybody comes out smelling good in this whole thing. But I would say that there wasn't a negotiation, and it was the Pelicans' choice for there not to be a negotiation. And if the Lakers intend to re-get into this race, and I'm sure that they still want Anthony Davis, I mean, they certainly want him. They offered so much for him. They're going to have to at some point re-talk to the Pelicans about it. I don't know. Maybe they've decided to kick the ball down the field to 2020. That would be a surprising decision to me, but I just thought it was
and
interesting.
Similar to the decision they made with Paul George, it did not work out for him.
Right, and I think that was one of the reasons why the Lakers' offers got public. Because Magic has had to sit there, you know, on his record, fair or not, that they didn't go after Paul George, they didn't make the big offer for Paul George, that they didn't make the big offer for Kawhi Leonard, although Jackie, I have to believe the Spurs' view of the Lakers' players was the same as the Pelicans, and I don't think there was an offer they could have made to get Kawhi, but they did have to sit around all summer and fall, you know, where they got, you know, rapped on the knuckles occasionally for not making more of an offer. So I think when the first offer became public and it was anemic, I think the Lakers front office was protecting itself a little bit by making sure everybody knew that they made a quote unquote godfather offer. So I think that there was some good faith issues in that whole situation. Maybe the Lakers weren't negotiating either, but they were doing some PR work there. But you know, the Lakers players getting upset was a function of the Lakers' actions a little bit as well. All right, so he does that. Then he goes into the Ben Simmons thing where he says that Ben Simmons had reached out, and I don't know if he didn't say that Ben Simmons talked to him directly, but, you know, Ben Simmons has the same agent as LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Maybe that was the way that they reached out. But, you know, under the letter of the law, under the letter of the law, which nobody follows, I want to be clear, but under the letter of the law, when Rich Paul calls to talk to Rob Pelinka or Magic Johnson, they can talk for 15 straight hours about LeBron, but under the letter of the law, they are not supposed to discuss other clients. Now, every single team in the league ignores that law. I mean, when Rich Paul calls the Celtics, he's supposed to only talk about Marcus Morris because that's who he represents on the Celtics. But I think it's a fair guess to say that he has discussed Anthony Davis with the Celtics. And the other agents have done the same thing. But let me just be clear. I don't know that that's how this request was passed on. But at some point, a request came to the Lakers that Ben Simmons would love to spend some time, you know, talking or consulting or even working out, I guess, although I don't know if Magic plays much basketball anymore, with Ben and Magic, because Ben wants some advice on how to be a big guard in the NBA, which Magic was the quintessential big guard, although I would argue that LeBron's just as much of a big guard. Jackie, when you heard that, what did you think?
I started laughing. I mean, I thought there was, and maybe I'm wrong, but I always thought there was a little bit of an unwritten rule when a young player reaches out to a superstar, that it's not the superstar's job to tell you about it. It's usually the younger player that, when they're ready, reveals this. Am I right? So I just remember I was shocked to learn, for instance, that Kobe Bryant called Larry Bird one day. I never knew that. Larry Bird never told me that, and he never would. And Kobe told me, and when I called Larry, he said, well, I'm not going to talk about that. You know, that's something that Kobe did. I said, well, Kobe told me. And he said, oh, okay. And then he would talk to me about it. Similarly, Akeem Olajuwon, so many of the young players that have reached out to him, Akeem doesn't go around telling everybody about it. So I found that a little curious. And I, to be honest, I found it out of bounds. And they're not doing their case any good with all these tampering allegations that are constantly swirling around Irvin, right? So that, to me, was just, it was out of bounds. Even if it happened, that's for Ben Simmons to tell us. It's not for Irvin to tell us. That's really how I feel about that.
It's a little bit of a gray area because Ben is talking to Irvin Johnson as a star, as a superstar Hall of Famer. He's not speaking to him as,
right,
as the GM or the president of the Lakers, but the challenge is that if you're the 76ers, you don't differentiate. It's happened in the past,
right,
as you mentioned,
with
Larry Bird. Right. In these situations, like, for example, sometimes players like to work in the summer. They like to work out in the facility of other teams. So, you know,
That happens a lot.
Right. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, I guess it happens in LA sometimes.
Let's take this. So Brian, Jason Tatum worked out quite a bit of the summer with Kobe Bryant. There's your example. Now, are there any two more bitter rivals than the Celtics and the Lakers? But Jason Tatum had a little tutorial with Kobe this past summer.
Right. And he reached out to him not as, you know, the close associate of the Lakers general manager, which is
right,
what Kobe is, but he reached out to him as Kobe Bryant, the Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer to be.
Exactly.
There is a protocol in the league, though. You know, let's say a player is spending the offseason in Phoenix and he wants to work out at the Suns facility. I'm fairly certain, I don't know if it's actually paperwork, but I'm fairly certain that there is a process that you have to go through where the team, his team has to sign off on, okay, he can work out there. And I know the Clippers have hosted people at their facility in the past. And a lot of times in LA, people go to UCLA.
UCLA. I was going to say that's where all the big games are, right? The UCLA games.
Right. But I suppose it's possible that, you know, the Lakers have an awesome new facility that just opened. I suppose it's possible guys could, you know, use that. So technically, you know, a lot of guys spend time in LA. So it's not unheard of that a team would give another player permission to go work out at another team's facility in the off season. I mean, ultimately you want the guy to be working out and staying in shape. But this is a different situation. I can't see any scenario where the Sixers would be like, yeah, go hang out with Magic Johnson a couple years before your free agency.
Yeah.
And the fact that he would say
and Magic of all people, like, Magic, you got fined $500,000 for winking. What are you doing?
Right. And also, I mean, Ramona has talked about this on this podcast and other places too. The Lakers, like, from an organizational perspective, from Jeannie Buss on downward, have, like, warned and threatened and said, everybody, don't even sniff toward the tampering rules. Play it straight. And you know,
right,
technically, Magic didn't do anything wrong here. It's just, I don't know, it's just a questionable judgment.
He didn't do anything right, though.
No,
it's
right.
Just Jeannie. If you're Jeannie, you're in your office going, come on, because she is so by the book, you know, dotting every T, crossing every T, dotting every I. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't like this.
I mean, this was a 5-minute interview, and I walked away from it saying, here's the things Magic said. One, screw the Pelicans. Two, all you guys who were in your feelings about almost getting traded, toughen up. Act like a man. Three, I'm gonna hopefully hang out with Ben Simmons, another free agent to be in a couple of years here. And I was just like, my God.
I'm telling you, it's how he rolls, man. It's how he rolls. He's Irvin Magic Johnson. His world is different than ours. Just saying.
Well,
it's
that
great
is true.
To be Magic. No, it is. I'm telling you. He's almost impervious to things. It's amazing. And, you know, he's a legend. So that's what happens when
right.
you're a legend. You know?
So the other thing I want to say is I had a story on Friday, and I spent a lot of time researching this and talking to all the parties. You know, I talked to the Anthony Davis operation. I talked to the league office. I talked to the Pelicans about the decision to play Anthony Davis. McMahon, when you saw that they had decided to do that, what did you think?
No win situation. I mean, there's no benefit to the Pelicans, only potential harm. He's going to help them win games, which they don't want to do. He's risking injury, which obviously is, you know, I don't know that if he gets nicked up, if that would affect his trade value, but, you know, there's obviously no help there. But what are you going to do? I mean, you can't, like, I completely understand the league office's point of view. You cannot sit a superstar for half a season. It's just it's a bad look and it's a terrible precedent for the NBA to set. If they would have said it, which obviously they were not interested in doing.
Jackie?
Integrity of the game. That's the first thing I thought of. You know, we brought it up last week, Brian, when we talked on this podcast. You can't sit a healthy superstar for no other reason. Now, of course, the irony is it's been done so many times. But, for instance, the San Antonio Spurs, we always hold up as the bastion of everything that's right about the NBA, and I do feel that way most of the time. But let's not forget that their dynasty began by sitting a healthy David Robinson over the final months of a season so they could be in a position to get that lottery pick, which turned out to be Tim Duncan. So it has certainly happened before. Now, not with this case where you've got a player that wants to be traded and you're protecting your investment for future purposes, but healthy players have sat before. I mean, I would even ask aloud, without any knowledge, but just conjecture on my part, is Kevin Love coming back anytime soon for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
And well, he played six minutes the other night. It was a...
Oh, I missed that. I apologize. I missed that.
Well, I don't blame you for missing it, Jackie. He played the first 6 minutes.
Blink and he missed it.
I've never seen a return like this before. He played the first 6 minutes of the game.
And then they didn't play the rest of the game?
And then he didn't play him the next night, which is fine on a back-to-back. But he played 6 minutes, went to the locker room. There was no re-injury, according to all parties. That was their quote-unquote plan. I've never seen
it. Well, here we go. That's another... But this is another example of what I'm talking about.
Right. I mean, so, and the Cavs are full-scale tanking. Are they going to play Kevin Love 6 minutes for another 2 weeks?
Kevin Love might have something to say about that. But I think, you know, if the thing here with Anthony Davis, it's so public. It's all we've been talking about for the last several weeks. You can't just sit a healthy Anthony Davis. Now, it'll be interesting to see how many minutes they play him. And if you're Alvin Gentry... Look, you're probably fighting for your job here. You want to win games. Those games go on your docket. If I'm Alvin Gentry, I'm playing Anthony Davis, and I'm playing to win because that's what you hired me to do.
I hear that, and it was so weird. The first game he comes back, he plays 25 minutes. He's awesome, and he sits the entire fourth quarter. Like, okay, this is awkward in a close game that they managed to win. And then he's supposed to be sitting back-to-backs. Something changed on the way to Memphis. He plays 30-some-odd minutes that night. It's like, I don't know. The plan seems to be changing day-to-day, and it's going to be a soap opera the rest of the season.
Well, to speak in the voice of the league office, there is a new rule that came in before last season about resting healthy players. That was not, you know, in play when Tim Duncan was being rested back in 1990, or David Robinson was being rested back in 1997. But the rule is not applied elsewhere. So, for example, you know, and I wanted to apply the rule to like J.R. Smith and to Chandler Parsons, but I was informed that those are not apples to apples because in those cases, J.R. and Parsons and even Melo were in agreement with being away from the team. That was a mutual agreement for that party to go away from the team. So, okay, I can't compare it to that. So the name that
I came
Parsons up
with... Parsons is coming back, baby.
He is coming back now.
Yep. Yeah.
The name that I came up with was Enes Kanter. Okay? Enes Kanter, now he's now been released, but Enes Kanter was benched by the Knicks. A couple of young rookies were being played instead of him. Now, we could bring in different basketball experts that could say that Kanter hurts you on defense or whatever, but I think it's fair to say that Enes Kanter was the best center that they had on their roster. He was averaging like 18 points and 7 rebounds, okay? And he was basically benched. And he was benched because the Knicks were trying to lose. Now, the Knicks wouldn't say that publicly, but and maybe they didn't like his attitude at times, but that was why he was benched. So what is the difference between Enes Kanter and Anthony Davis? And the answer is that in the NBA, like most of life, there's different rules for different people. That's just the bottom line. And that Anthony Davis would get the rule applied to him about resting healthy players, and Enes Kanter would not. And that's essentially what the league told the Pelicans.
Also, Enes Kanter can get a buyout, and Anthony Davis sure as hell cannot.
Well, he didn't get a buyout. He just got released, actually.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But the point is that by the letter of the law, right, he was being rested as a healthy scratch as their best center.
Yes, he was. That's right.
Somebody, yes. If you asked 100 NBA experts who the best center was, Enes Kanter would overwhelmingly be the best center on that roster. And Enes Kanter wanted to play. Right. He was very public in the media saying, I want to play. This was not like Parsons or J.R. Smith. And that is why it was important for Anthony
Parsons
Davis.
Parsons was very public about wanting to play too.
Right, but at the end of the day, and I talked to the Grizzlies on this, because I wanted to get all my P's and Q's straight. At the end of the day, Parsons was in agreement with the organization to leave and they would try to trade him. He was not hostily in exile. He was not a hostile exile. And I hate to use the term exile because,
His other option was to go rot in the G League. So,
according to the Grizzlies, he agreed to be back in L.A. working out while they worked to trade him.
They're being that's semantics there.
According to the league and the Grizzlies, that was the case.
The Grizzlies are rebuilding.
For the Brooks, and I mean, there's just a lot of things going on.
I don't know whose fault that was.
They're rebuilding, and they have fewer draft picks now than they did coming into the season. That's not good work.
Well, the strange thing was they traded for Justin Holliday.
Yeah, gave up 2 seconds for him.
And then reversed course, and then decided to tank and trade their best players.
But they're not tanking is the other thing. Because they want to get off the pick that they owe the Celtics.
They say that, but I just don't believe that to be true. Do you?
Well, here's the problem. If you don't give it up this year, then it's top six protected, and then it's unprotected. So you better get off it this year because it only gets worse from here.
The bottom line is the Pelicans were told by the league, we are going to enforce the rule. And it was important for Anthony Davis to make it known, and that story came out within minutes of the trade deadline, or actually maybe even a little before. Anthony Davis wants to play. That was an important aspect to get out there. And I think it's interesting that, the league office and Adam Silver, I mean, they're following the rules here, but, Adam Silver is repeatedly over and over and over coming down on the side of players. And if you're a small market like New Orleans, you got to be sitting there going, now, wait a minute. We got our guy demanding a trade to a big market. That's already one thing that we have to fight. And then when we want to move on as an organization because the guy has demanded a trade, you come in and apply rules to us that you don't apply to other people. I mean, I would be pretty frustrated with the league office if I was New Orleans right now. And I suppose it could be within New Orleans' rights to have Anthony Davis out there for the jump ball and then at the first dead ball pull him out of the game and say we played him and start a standoff in that way. But they have elected at this point not to do that. Right. Was he put back in the video?
He's back in the video.
God.
Come on, really? That's just my goodness. Oh,
what are you going to do? He's playing games.
You know, it's so funny though. Players care about that stuff. It's kind of funny, isn't it? That kind of stuff that players actually care about.
So. LeBron has. I don't know if he does this with the
Lakers.
Not
a good time.
LeBron, in his past in Miami and in Cleveland, dictated what the song was. Like he wanted a specific song. Like I. I remember one year, I won't say whether this was in Miami or Cleveland, but, you know, they had edited together a package based on a song. So the certain things that happened on the scoreboard corresponded to what was happening in the song. It was part of their entire process on how they shot the video, what they wanted the players to do. And LeBron was like, that song doesn't pump me up enough. This song pumps me up more. And I guess at the end of the day, it's most important that LeBron's pumped up to start the game. And if he says he wants, you know, classical music played, you're going to do that.
Yes.
So I just think that, I know that this New Orleans stuff is probably tiresome for fans because it's been going on for weeks, but I just felt like the drama of whether he was going to play or not was just fascinating. And you know, and the Pelicans could have gone to war here. They could have just said there was 27 games left. They were advised by the league they could be fined $100,000 a game. You know, that's $2.7 million. It's a lot of money, but not something that the organization couldn't afford.
Yeah, they could have just. What you're paying him.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Right. They could have just said.
To say, if you really wanted to, you could.
They could have drawn a line in the sand and turned this into a standoff, even though they knew that by the letter of the law, they were in violation. They knew that the way the rules were written, that they would probably lose that, you know, if it was a grievance or an arbitration or whatever happened. And they elected to take the high road. And so any gray area that comes here about whether they play him in the last 5 minutes, because he did get fourth quarter minutes in Memphis the next night,
yeah,
or whether they elect to play him only in the first half or whatever, they're still, in my mind, taking the high road and not turning this into a thing, which it could have been. And I don't know. I wonder how their fans
and you know what?
Feel.
Well, I was watching one game the other night. They were mildly booing Anthony every time he touched the ball. Mildly booing. Not like, rah, not a really big boo, but people, you could hear people booing him. And I will say this. I have no sympathy for Anthony Davis in this regard. You made your decision. And by the way, if you want to make that decision, good for you. You have every right to. You have a right to control your future, and that is what he's doing. But you do not have a right now to complain about how much or how little the team that you have publicly spurned plays you. So no sympathy there.
Right. So, Jackie, the Celtics had a little interesting weekend. By the way, let me just say that game against the Lakers on Thursday night was a great game. And I felt like the last play, where Rondo ended up hitting like an 18-footer, 17-footer, whatever it was, I thought the Celtics were awesome on that play. Marcus Morris denied LeBron the inbounds, and LeBron didn't go get the ball, which is another story. Scottie Pippen filleted him for that on the jump on Friday, and he was worse behind the scenes. That's all I'm going to say. He was appalled that LeBron wouldn't go get that ball. There was like 12 seconds, maybe 10 seconds left. Marcus Morris did a really good job of denying initially, and he just let Brandon Ingram have the ball. Ingram made a really good drive where he went reverse layup to use the rim to shield himself from Al Horford. And Horford made a world-class defensive play, getting his hand up underneath the rim and around the net to block the shot in a way that wasn't goaltending, to what I would think would essentially win the game. And there were three Celtics right there, and Tyson Chandler made a play, but that scrum happens 10 different times. The Celtics probably come out of it 8 times. And the ball ends up in Rondo's hands, and even Rondo on a wide open shot from that distance is 50-50 at best, maybe less. Terrible break the Celtics lose that game. Just, you know, tremendous job by the Lakers to make a comeback. It was a great win for them. But the Celtics certainly shouldn't hang their head the way that game actually ended. And then they lose again over the weekend, and Kyrie suffers a knee injury. But so go ahead from there, Jackie.
Well, but I was just going to say that they blew a big lead to the Lakers.
That's
and
true.
They should, that game never. And the Lakers, at one point in the third quarter, were 9-for-11 from the three-point line. 9-for-11. I think they missed their final two. So maybe they ended up 9-for-13 in the quarter. Okay? That is insane. It's insane. And so to me, it was really fun to be there because of all the drama. And, you know, first time as LeBron wearing a Laker uniform in Boston. So that was fun. And Kyrie versus LeBron is always fun. Although Kyrie, I thought, really pressed in that game. He was 3 for 18 from the floor at one point. Lots of stuff going on in that game. So, okay, you can let that one go if you want. But they should have won that game. And then to come out and just blow a 20.8 lead to the Clippers was just, I'm telling you, there is something wrong with this team. It's too late in the season to keep saying they're going to figure it out. The chemistry is bad. The vibe is bad. And it's not getting better. And they're running out of time for it to get better.
I mean, it's so bad that Marcus Morris is announcing publicly it's terrible.
Yeah, right. What'd you think of that, Jackie? Marcus Morris coming out publicly.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I know he said things like that behind closed doors to his teammates. I think it was born of frustration. He's having a career year. He's very much invested in the Celtics. I've had a lot of conversations with him about it, and some of that guy stems from the help they got him with his mental health issues. He feels very invested in this team, and as you know, only makes $5 million and can walk. He's probably going to be, you know, he's going to be a free agent, and depending on what they do, may or may not be able to bring him back. He's invested. He's, I think he supports Kyrie, and I think he gets very frustrated with these young guys. I've sensed his frustration from day one almost. So I think this was a case of after two games that he just couldn't believe they lost, blowing off steam. I don't know if he regrets saying it, but I will tell you this, everything he said was true.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how much veteran versus young player thing? Is this real, Jackie, or is this just a, you know, a creation? I mean,
well, here's
is this a real issue?
There's some stuff going on in there, and I think the biggest problem is, and it's so cliche to say it, but where is the leadership coming from? You know, Kyrie's been very open about talking about, we've talked about it before on this pod when he told me a few weeks ago, hey, this was harder than I thought, this leadership thing, and, you know, the very public phone call to LeBron, which, of course, blew up in his face. And so the young players tired of hearing about how you won a championship. You know, we look, hey, if I'm Terry Rozier, I'm going to be a free agent. My minutes are down. My numbers are down. I'm pressing when I get in the game because I only have this much time to do stuff. Jason Tatum, I'm going to be a star. Don't you know that? I should be on the All-Star team. I can't do that if I'm not getting my touches and my minutes. Jaylen Brown, did you remember what I did in the playoffs last year? And now you're going to tell me I got to come off the bench? While Gordon Hayward, who originally was starting, if you may recall, Gordon Hayward's thinking, man, I'm just trying to get back. There's so much going on in that locker room. And, you know, Al Horford is a fine leader. He's a quiet leader in the clubhouse, in the locker room. He can go over after a bad game and tell you, don't, you know, here's how you get past this or whatever. But he's not an in-your-face guy. The biggest leader, the best leader by a mile is Marcus Smart in this locker room. And he's just not a, you know, he has great imprint on the game with his hustle and desire and all that. But he's not a superstar. He's not even an all-star. And so you've got leadership issues. And I have to say, we've got to include, and Brad Stevens admitted himself, we got to say, what is Brad Stevens going to do here? His team comes out consistently and just bombs in the third quarter. I'm talking bombing. And this has been going on all year long. And he's right when he says, I've got to look at lineups and changes, and then I got to look at myself and what am I doing wrong and why is my team not prepared to play in the third quarter? So there's plenty of blame to spread around. But it's at the point now where you just look at it and you say, why should I think this is going to change? Who's going to change it?
You know, I was talking to a scout about the Celtics the other day, and they said the worst thing that happened to the Celtics was their success last season, because now you've got Tatum, Brown, Rozier, you know, these young guys being like, they're like, dude, we went to game 7 of the East Finals against LeBron without you, Kyrie, without you, Hayward. Like, we're this level of player. And, you know, now they're being asked to take smaller roles, blah, 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 blah. There's all kinds of chemistry problems. And, you know, as much as Magic's talking about these guys are professionals with the Lakers, I mean, look, these young guys know, okay, the Celtics are shopping us. They can't do anything before the deadline because of the Kyrie contract situation. But they know, like, hey, this summer, they could be gone. They could, you know, they might end up in New Orleans. And, it's gossip, but the gossip is Jason Tatum wouldn't mind. Jason Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of a franchise somewhere, because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future.
Jackie, do you think...
I disagree with that. I push back on that. I think Jason Tatum could have a big starring role in Boston if they stay, but he's going to be their biggest trade chip. And here's the thing I would say, and I've said it over and over again. The first thing Brad Stevens should have said, and I'm sure he said it, I'm sure he said it 100 times, last year was last year. Who cares about last year? This year, last year's Celtics team would never make it out of the first round, possibly, this year, because of how good all the other teams in the East. That is such an irrelevant point. And if those players are hanging on that and dwelling on that, shame on them. Because last year was last year, and this year is this year. And if you think for a minute that team could beat the Milwaukee team as constituted right now, as the Sixers team is constituted, Toronto, forget about it. Not happening. So forget about last year. Everybody needs to forget about last year.
Hey, basketball season is in full swing now. This is when the playoff race gets interesting and the true contenders start to outperform the rest. And wherever you're driving your family and friends this basketball season, you should make sure your car has the right tires to get you there safely. Goodyear knows that performance is everything, whether it's on the road or on the court. So when it comes to choosing tires, let Goodyear.com help you choose what's best. Goodyear, more driven, made in Akron, Ohio. So Jackie, I know what I was told. Doesn't mean what I was told was true. But to your knowledge, do you think that the Celtics ever considered trading Kyrie before the deadline, after what happened with his, you know, his comments like last week?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Now, did they listen? They always listen, right? But I don't think that was in their intent. I do think it's a possibility that Kyrie had heard that they may do that once Anthony Davis is made available. And I don't believe that to be the case. Now, they have to look at everything. They'd be foolish not to. Here's my question, and I haven't gotten an answer yet. Have the Celtics already assured Kyrie Irving that when he becomes a free agent on July 1st, he is getting the max deal allotted to him? Have they made that promise yet?
See, Jackie, that's to me the basis of this whole thing. When Kyrie committed to them in October, I felt the whole time that it was a play to apply pressure to the Celtics to offer the 5-year max. Now, I could be wrong, because there's also the possibility that, you know, because one of the things that has come out of the Anthony Davis situation is that this was an example of why it's a mistake for a player in his prime years, not Chris Paul or LeBron James when they're in their 30s, but a player in his 20s, why it's a mistake to sign a 5-year max. And in Anthony Davis's case, there was no outs, I'm pretty sure. There was no player option or ETO or anything. In Kyrie's case, he does have an opt-out, which is why he has a chance to be a free agent this summer. And that, you know, in the modern era where players want flexibility, that you shouldn't sign a 5-year max. And even Kyrie with his knee issues, you know, when he's a free agent this summer, everybody will offer him a max contract. So maybe Kyrie didn't even want to a 5-year max. Maybe he only intends to sign a 1+1 or a 2+1 or whatever. You know, Paul George could have gotten a 5-year max. He took a 3-year deal with the Thunder last year, and he's had a broken leg and he was coming off knee surgery. So, you know, players are doing that. But that was one thing that I thought right from the start, Jackie, was Kyrie is committing to a contract that hasn't necessarily been offered yet. And I don't know, maybe they did. Maybe they did have a meeting and give him a wink and a nod and said the 5 years are coming. But coming off the multiple surgeries that he's had and his history of injuries, I'm not sure that they were willing to do that. And I think that's a very good point.
Well, and here's the other thing, because you just said it. What if Kyrie is saying to them, well, if you don't give me that 5-year max, I'm pulling a Kevin Durant. I'm going to do the 1+1.
Right. Right.
So these are the games
that's something he could do.
These are the games we play. And that's why I never have believed, and I have many colleagues who are a lot smarter than I am, that insist to me that Kyrie's, you know, direct path to New York is all but assured. I don't buy it. because you'll leave, first of all, you'll leave, what, $50 million on the table, give or take, right? Second of all, ownership is clearly in ruins there, always has been. It's a disaster. And I do believe that Kyrie, the one thing I'll say about Kyrie, and we've talked about this before too, is the idea that he's always searching for the perfect situation or searching, you know, to find himself and what's the best place. And, you know, as someone close to him has told me in the last week, I've explained to him, there's no Shangri-La. Madison Square Garden is not Shangri-La. Maybe the Boston Garden isn't either. But at some point you have to just say, you know what, this is the best possible scenario for me.
And, well, I want to talk about, you know, New York, but Andrew, do you have some business first?
I do. Brian, we have to pause on some platforms for a commercial break. And while we do that, Brian, can you tell us about that NBA player that challenged you one-on-one?
But he obviously had to play with his shoelaces tied together. But ultimately we couldn't work out the details.
And we're back. So. We're back.
And did he have to shoot left-handed too? Did he have to shoot left-handed?
Well, one arm was tied to his shoe, and then the two shoes were tied together.
So there you go.
I keep hearing about these guys wanting to go to New York, and I feel like it's my duty to inform all of our listeners, maybe remind all of our listeners, that there is more than one team in New York.
Ooh.
There are two teams in New York, and two teams with salary cap space next year. And if you look
There's
at the Brooklyn
one Madison
Nets.
Madison Square Garden, though. But go on.
That's true. I don't know. I mean, I'm living in a world right now where the Clippers. Now, let me just point out the Clippers. The Clippers on this Grammy road trip. The Lakers and Clippers have both been on long road trips because the Grammys were in the Staples Center. And the Clippers have had massive comeback victories in Detroit and Boston, and then they had a comeback in Charlotte where they hit a game winner in the last like 5 seconds. I don't think it was at the buzzer, but it was in the last 5 seconds. They've had a hell of a road trip. Not only that, they've positioned themselves brilliantly for the free agency this summer with two max slots plus potentially up to two extra first round picks and all kinds of young talent that they could trade. They, to me, look like, after all these decades, a real viable alternative to the Lakers. And they have plans for a new building, and they have the richest owner in sports. And I know it's not the Lakers, but the Clippers are now
arena
viable.
Coming up, don't forget that.
Yeah, they want to build an arena, although I don't know if you can sell it to a free agent. It's probably more than 3 or 4 years away, but true.
Yeah.
They have a great facility now. You know, there's no, like, this is not the, you know, the 90s Clippers where you play in a dilapidated facility and you don't have tape for your ankles or whatever. Is that not potentially the case with the Nets?
The Nets are
proving them as they crawl out of the hole that was dug for them in the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trade, which cost them, you know, 3 to 4 years of competition. They are crawling out of the hole that, you know, they are going to be a playoff team this year. They have good young pieces. They have salary cap space. And, you know, they have a coach that people like. And soon, I don't remember exactly when the date is, they're going to have the NBA's first Chinese owner in Joseph Tsai, who is going to be one of the richest owners in America. And they are going to become... I have a chance to become the Chinese, the NBA's Chinese team when they have a Chinese owner. Am I way off base in saying that, you know, just looking at Kevin Durant thinking about the Knicks and Kyrie thinking about the Knicks or whomever, am I crazy not to point out that the Nets are an option here, McMahon?
I feel like the Knicks, though, I mean... It's a different deal because there's
that
so
is a
much.
Messed up organization. I know that they've had.
I hear you, but there's
a better
history.
18 months, but the history is crap.
It's a train wreck.
The history is crap.
Yeah, but it's the biggest. It's the biggest stage on the East Coast, and I think that really matters to Kevin Durant. Wow, look, if it's just about the best chance to win, he's not leaving Golden State. But we all understand that for whatever reason. winning with the Warriors has not ultimately been a satisfying experience for KD, and so he wants to go to a situation where he can be the face of a franchise.
But let me ask you this. Let me just stop you right there.
Turns around.
If he were to sign with the Knicks next year, let's say they don't get Zion. Let's say they get the fourth pick. Let's say they get Cam Reddish, okay? Good player. Are he, Cam Reddish, and Dennis Smith Jr., are they going to be competing for a championship?
Well, hold on, because I'm sending Kyrie with them. are he, Kyrie, and Cam Reddish capable of competing in the East? And the answer, I think, is yes.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's the thing. They have to fill that other max slot.
Well, why can't he and Kyrie go to Brooklyn?
I would say that
Jared Allen and
Joe Harris.
To make that happen, they would have to offload Allen Crabbe, and the Nets were offering their draft pick. Allen Crabbe was on offer for a first round pick. They couldn't get a taker, but okay, maybe they find a taker next summer. You know, they would have to renounce D'Angelo Russell, but if you're swapping out. I'm just saying, am I ridiculously off base here talking about this?
It deserves to be mentioned, and obviously the Clippers are lurking as well, but I mean, these would all be good questions to ask KD, but boy, he's not in much of a mood to talk to that untrustworthy media.
I will tell you this. Have you guys been to Brooklyn's practice facility? It's spectacular.
I've not seen it.
It is the nicest one in the league, and it's not even close. The facilities they have.
Although it's not in Manhattan, it's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but you know what? Go to the rooftop, Brian. In fact, they should, after this podcast, if you're listening, guys, Kenny Atkinson and everybody else, invite Brian Windhorst down for a tour of this place. On the roof, they have a roof deck with 360-degree views of the New York skyline, the Statue of Liberty. They have a dining room and a private chef for their players. They have state-of-the-art rehabilitative facilities, cold tubs, hot tubs, all that sort of thing. The court is picked. I'm telling you, there's nothing nicer. I've seen almost all of them, maybe not all of them, but it's far and away the nicest facility I've seen in the NBA. It's not even close.
Well, why does Wendy get invited for a tour and I don't? I want a tour.
Well, because he said he hasn't been there. I'm just assuming you've been there, Tim.
Well, I mean, I think...
I have not been there, and I'm offended. I want a tour.
I think pretty much...
I think you both should go down there and get one, and I'm sure it could be arranged.
I'm sure
it could be arranged.
Not every team, but most teams now have spectacular facilities.
They don't have a 360 view of the New York skyline with a roof deck with beautiful outdoor couches.
Compared to the Knicks, you gotta live in, right? You can live in the city, but all your business with the Knicks happens in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
And you've been to that facility, right?
Yes, that one does not equal the facilities elsewhere, but.
Hey, the Mavericks share a building with a brewery. I mean, that's a pretty good recruiting pitch.
There you go.
But I mean, if you think about it, the Celtics have a brand new facility, the Raptors have a brand new facility, the Sixers have a brand new facility, the Nets have a brand new facility, the Wizards have a brand new facility, the Pistons have a new facility, the Bucks have a new facility.
I'm just telling you, you gotta go see it to understand what I'm saying. It's just a cut above. It's incredible. It really is.
Did you guys see what the Knicks did with Kevin Durant over the weekend?
Yeah, oh, you talking about so the season ticket thing?
The post.
Season ticket renewals are due here pretty soon. And when you go to, I guess, you know, there's a web portal for season ticket renewals that season ticket holders go. And when you sign in this ad, I don't know if it was an ad, but, you know, this display came up about to renew your tickets. And I don't even know which Nick was featured.
I think it was Mitchell Robinson.
Okay, it was Mitchell Robinson. It
was
Mitchell Robinson who was playing over Enes Kanter, and Kevin Durant pictured at what I think was a game at the Garden this year. And clearly, what it meant to look like was, hey, renew your season tickets. Here's a picture of Kevin Durant. Wink, wink. And the team ended up, they took it down and they made a statement and said, you know, it was just a, you know, it was a photo of Mitchell Robinson that happened to have Durant in it. Don't,
Oh yeah.
You know, now granted, it's a hard sell to your season ticket holders to renew. You know, basically you're saying come to the Garden to see the opposition. So if it wasn't Durant, it could have easily been a photo of LeBron or a photo of Steph Curry or something like that. But, you know, I'll say it again. Jackie, when the Knicks made those trades, made that Porzingis trade, they did it either with, you know, pie in the sky optimism or because they had inside information. I don't know which it is, but I've seen Knicks optimism in the past not work out. So, I don't know, maybe, you know.
Or C, they traded him because he wanted to leave and they didn't want to have to pay him because they're unsure of his health. That to me is the more realistic.
I feel like
they didn't want to be there.
The Knicks did a really, they put a lot of effort into kind of scapegoating him. Hey, let's have him in for a meeting for 5 minutes and on the day that we're going to trade him just so we can get out there that he doesn't want to be here. Like the trade was already in the works. You were already trading him. You just want to be able to get out there that, Porzingis didn't want to be here. Yeah, whatever.
Is it true or not true?
It's sloppy PR work by the Knicks.
But is it true or not true? Did he want to be there or not? He didn't, right?
No, so I give Porzingis credit for having some intelligence, recognizing that the Knicks are a completely dysfunctional situation. Perhaps he doesn't want to spend his.
But yet, Kyrie and Durant are going to be standing.
And
there
that's interesting. And that's interesting. And so back to your point, the Knicks are either taking the biggest risk in recent memory, or they've got something lined up. And I know the suspicion that I hear over and over and over again is they've got something lined up.
Well, all I know is you can have everything lined up. You know, things in the NBA change. Things in the NBA change. I just think that it's relevant to point out that the Brooklyn Nets have a max slot and could get a second max slot without moving heaven and earth. It could happen. And
the Clippers are players in this whole thing. I mean, look, LA obviously is a great market. They've always kind of been the JV team out there, but the Clippers are they've positioned themselves to be not only major players in free agency, but they're loaded with assets. By the way, the Knicks are loaded with assets too.
Both the Knicks and the Clippers, I could paint you a picture that the Knicks and the Clippers could both sign two max players and trade for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
The Knicks need a little bit more help with where their pick lands, but the Clippers could do it. Do I think that will happen? No. But the Clippers have positioned themselves, in my mind, really, really well, and they've done it by trading their best player three times over. They traded Chris Paul. I mean, he was going to walk. That wasn't much of a choice, but they still traded him. And they traded Blake Griffin, and they traded Tobias Harris. So they traded their best player in an arbitrage situation where they kicked the ball down the field a little bit each time. Each time improving their assets, you look at their team, they're highly competitive, they're fighting for the playoffs. Maybe they get in, maybe they don't. If they do get in, it's a tremendous triumph. Their young players get to play in the playoffs. If they don't get in, they get their draft pick, which would be in the lottery, and have an opportunity to be traded for Anthony Davis or some other player. I think the Clippers are in as ideal position as any team in the league, other than the fact that they are the Clippers, right?
Yeah, but they've done a great job. Oh, they really have.
We were going to end on such a good note, and then you say, "But they're the Clippers."
A former Clipper,
yeah, but I don't think they are the Clippers anymore. Man, they're not the Clippers anymore.
They're not Donald Sterling's Clippers.
Their front office has stuff nailed down. They make shrewd decisions. When they traded Blake Griffin, no trade offer was leaked. When they traded Tobias Harris, no trade offer was leaked. I mean, listen, I'd prefer if it was leaked because we're in the media. We're trying to get information. You know, they have their act together, okay? And they have done something that the Lakers have not done, and that is acquired assets that might be interesting to the Pelicans. whereas the Lakers have not. So, all right, we have to wrap up here. Going to All-Star this week, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Hahn and I are going to All-Star.
Uh-oh.
I am not. I am still hoping I'm going to have a date with my surgeon, my friends. So I will not be there.
Oh, right. He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. I hope he is. Good Lord. I hope he
McMahon?
Is.
I'll be on the couch, brother.
That's what I'd like to hear. That's where I'd like to be. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. We will talk to you later in the week. Andrew and I cooking up some stuff in L.A.
Uh-oh.
And, in Charlotte.
Or L.A. I wish it was at L.A. It was in Charlotte. No, I like Charlotte.
Like,
don't get me wrong. Some of my best friends live in Charlotte. I'm not saying anything bad about Charlotte.
Yeah, friend.
You better not.
A couple of them. All right. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective podcast. Have a good week, everybody.